Hello and welcome to this Zurich podcast. I'm Ben Busfield, Global Customer Claims Executive. And today's topic is all about an insurance element that not everyone may have heard of or had any interaction with. That being the financial interest clause, and something you'll find out is mainly on international insurance policies and programs. So on this podcast, it's not just me. I'm also joined by three experts from the underwriting and claims community with lots of knowledge and experience. We're joined by Sally Roberts, Senior Casualty Underwriter, Darren Bailey, Senior Casualty Claims Technician, and Enoa Pinilla, Senior Claims Adjuster and Team Leader in our Spanish office. So with everyone introduced, I'll start with yourself, Sally. So I really want to understand what the basics of the FINC coverage is and why do we use it?
Yeah, no problem at all, Ben. So FINC, which is the financial interest cover, so the abbreviation term that we're going to be using, is an insurance-wide solution for companies that do not have a local policy in place within a territory whereby non-admitted cover is not permitted. So in essence, it's a country or territory whose laws will prohibit the insurer from covering or making a payment from a loss that occurred. The solution provides protection to a company that is deemed legally liable via either the parent or a head office, which is situated outside of a FINC territory. So the UK, for example. So how that solution unfolds is the claim is presented to the parent or head office due to the insurable interest that the parent has to that company that suffered the loss. The onus is for the company to prove that the loss or liability incurred by the company would have been covered under the terms and conditions of the policy if it had been incurred by the parent head office. So why is it used? Well, the parent may not have a physical presence in a FINC territory. The operation may be really small. So for example, one person working there or under a contract, for example, but they still require that protection. So the cover is never standalone. It always forms part of a global policy.
Great, thanks, Sal. And when you talk about sort of international programs, what sort of customers would typically have FINC or financial interest in their policies?
I would say mainly global customers, which we deal with on a daily basis. And that can be whether on a primary or an excess level. So a customer might buy a really large tower due to their exposure and require protection for all their entities throughout the tower. And this may include financial interest cover, depending on the territory's concerns.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So we've done a bit of introduction there. So I really want to touch on claims when these clauses come into fruition and action. So, Darren, what sort of claims are we seeing where this clause may be used?
Well, Ben, we're seeing DIC, DIL, and we're also seeing ground up claims as well. Just one example of a ground up financial interest claim, a matter in St. Lucia. It's a bodily injury to a United States guest at the hotel. The insured instructs an adjuster to investigate for them. Through that process and through demand that is made, demand being monetary amount of money that somebody's seeking from claimant's lawyer, is such that we need to consider instructing our own lawyer, or i.e. the insured need to instruct. So we have a discussion with them at regular touch point through the claim. Through that, we provide a recommendation of someone that they may wish to instruct to assist them. They then instruct that lawyer, and through regular touch point, they reach a settlement of damages between the insured and the claimant. The claim is then presented to the Zurich PC, with the relevant documentation, and the settlement is then made by the Zurich PC to the financial interest named insured. Typically, that will be already immortalised in the policy who that party is. So that's just one example, and that's where we ground up.
Okay. And I know your background, Aaron, is more casualty or liability-based, but can it be on the lines of business as well?
It can, yeah. We have product liability, public liability, environmental impairment liabilities as well, written on this basis.
Okay, cheers, Darren. Thanks for that background. So I really want to come on to the actual doing and adjustment of a claim. So, ANOA, what are we permitted to do and not do with FINK claims, and how would they differ from, say, a normal claim in the territory?
Yeah, so basically the FINK cover does not offer any services and any claims handling, paying in that country, or even defend our insured in that country. So in these cases, it's the parent company who should submit the claim to the insurer, and we reimburse the parent company for that claim. That's why it's really important that they understand when buying or purchase these kind of covers, and that they should have enough capitalized or equipped to handle the claims themselves in that countries. And basically that's the main difference from a normal claim, that we cannot provide this kind of services in the country. And in terms of how do we pay and who do we pay, we cannot pay directly to the subsidiary, and we have to pay to the parent company who is in the schedule of the policy. This parent company can be either the policyholder or other insureds. For example, in DFOS policies, we can have parent companies that are not the policyholder, that can be intermediaries of this policyholder, or even other insureds that own this subsidiary, but they are not the parent company ultimate in the corporation. It can be an intermediary, for example.
That's great. And so just to reinforce, and maybe Darren, you can help with this, in terms of that communication and the level of day-to-day support that Zurich can provide, I take it that's more of an arm's length relationship, right?
Yeah, Ben, what in practicality we would look to do is have regular and maintain contact with the insured throughout the claim adjustment process. So whilst we wouldn't be managing the claim for them, and that's the distinct difference which we've heard from ANOA, we would expect to have regular contact with them so that there's an understanding of what's happening in the claim. We can give them some tips on perhaps next steps that they might like to take, and just ensuring that there's no surprises either for us or for the insured along that adjustment process. So it's a little embracing of the claims commitment that we have on larger losses, of that regular communication, and that really is key to a smooth financial interest claim.
And also I would say here that it's the obligations is transferred to the parent company, because it's usually not understood that it's not the subsidiary who should communicate with us, it's the parent company who has to submit the claim to us, and it's the parent company who has to collect all the information.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It has to be the parent company who we're having that discussion with, and not the, if you will, the local business entity that has suffered the loss in a territory.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the control of that initial claim and the decision making fundamentally changes when it comes to a FINK claim, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, Sally, I just want to take it back another step. I think you may have mentioned it in your first introduction, but can there be a FINK solution where a local policy is in place?
Yeah, definitely. And we've seen this on a few occasions. A situation may arise whereby an incident has occurred, but the cover in a local policy is restrictive. But the master policy, where the parent or head office is based, provides the appropriate cover and is on a wider form. So in that case, it's able to provide that cover. So often on large global programs that we see day to day, there may be inner limits applied to give cover for something like incidental PI or financial loss or care, custody and control, for example, which the locals may not provide or have a different understanding of the cover. And remembering when we're issuing global policies, a lot of the local entities will issue to good local standard. So therefore, you've then got this difference in conditions situation, which feeds back to the master policy. So the financial interest solution is then picked up via a DIC situation.
Mm. So essentially, we have another just element of consideration rather than a think ground up setup, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. And so then just coming back into the claims environment, Darren, when you have a local policy and there may be coverage or limit issues, as Sally references, there is a think connection with the master policy. Is there any additional sort of considerations that need to be made for that think element?
I think that can depend on how far a process got with the local policy, and probably give you an example, which I think would be a good example of a product liability loss that we had in China, which was a difference in conditions claim from China to the producing master policy. So it's a product liability claim relating to beverage drinks. There was a notification into the local policy in China, and they went about fully investigating the matter via an adjuster. From that investigation, they were able to determine that there was no coverage provided locally, as there was no property damage or bodily injury, and it was a claim for pure financial loss. So the local policy alerted the PC, which was the UK in that example, and the PC was already aware of the loss because they'd been alerted to that by the corporate customer at the time it was pushed into China. So we knew of the claim, which was useful. We determined that there was cover provided for financial loss under the PC policy. A substantial part of the investigation had already been carried out, so we had some really good insight, and as did the insured. But at that point in time, China had to step back, having determined there was no cover, and the insured had to, if you will, step in to the shoes of the insurance company in managing that loss with the assistance of the adjuster that was already in place and who they were familiar with in any event. Again, we had regular contact with the corporate customer throughout the adjustment process that they had. Ultimately, they presented that loss to us with copies of adjuster's reports, copies of the settlement agreements that they had in place with their customers, and we were able to make a final, or they were able to put to us what they considered their final adjustment was that we agreed with, and we then made a payment to the financial interest named insured in the policy.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the theme really coming across there is the communication, not just with the insured or the customer, but internally at Zurich as well, just to make sure that all our stakeholders are fully aware of what is happening.
And that, you know, that's just one example where there was no cover at all provided locally, and we have many examples where there has been cover provided locally. So the local policy is able to continue management and investigation of the loss, are able in many territories to provide that additional support that's required to us and the insured around adjustment of a loss which might be above a local limit of indemnity. And so ultimately you could have an example being in Brazil, a loss that's satisfied fully by the local policy up to their limit of indemnity of, say, 2 million, and there's a financial interest DIL element to it of, let's say, for example, $1 million that we are then able to meet and pay to, again, the think named insured under the policy, whereas in Brazil they will have paid the local insured up to the limit of their policy. So there's many examples that we have day in, day out.
Yeah, absolutely. And some interesting countries that you mentioned, which is, I suppose, another element of think. It's not, you know, every day that we have claims in, you know, China and Brazil coming out of the UK. But one element that you've touched on a few times is the payment element. I know you mentioned it as well, and you refer to the policy. But Sally, I was wondering, we talk about the parent company, but can a different business entity or name be put on the policy for where Finc payments can be made to?
Yes, there can be. So you could nominate a head office, and we have had this on a couple of our global programs. So a parent company could pick a head office based in a non-emitted territory that will take ownership of that financial interest solution. The rules of Finc still need to be applied to ensure the loss suffered would have been covered under that said business. So the company needs to ensure they understand the concept of Finc and can accept the solution into its business when nominating a head office.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And it's just another element of how we can set up policies to meet our customers' needs, essentially, yes?
That's right, definitely.
Yeah. Actually, the FOS, mostly of our policies, our policyholder or parent company is not the headquarter of the company.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, Anoa. And when it comes on to payments, financials, and moving money around, Sally, are there any tax implications that customers need to be aware of?
Yeah, definitely. So how we manage that piece is when we're looking at, we're taking a global program, for example, we will map out the territories which the company is looking for us to provide insurance cover for. Now, whether that's on local policy issuance, or what you usually see on the tax schedules is for the difference in limits, difference in conditions solution to over and above a local policy will be cover under the master. Now, those solutions can either be non-emitted permitted, freedom of service, or financial interest. For those countries where we're, for Brazil, China, but the typical ones that we've mentioned throughout the podcast, where we're covering over and above, say, a 1 million local limit to bring the cover up to 10 million. That will be on a financial interest coverage. So when we're going through those allocations, any financial interest will be subject to the parent company or head office company tax. So if we look at the UK, for example, and we've got a UK parent and head office, and they've got 15 local policies, we will go through, and the ones that are identified as financial interest will have 12% UK tax applied purely in respect to their DIC, DIO exposure, because their local cover will be taken care of under the locally admitted policies. So we're transparent with the client up front in terms of how their program comes about and what their taxes are and what they need to pay.
Mm. Yeah, so it's about being clear at the outset before we
definitely
proceed. Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Sally. And I suppose really finally then, in terms of key messages, Anoa, what would you say, or if there are any, sort of common misconceptions of Finc claims that our customers should be aware of?
Well, mainly what about Darren was explaining before, Big Deal Cover, Sometimes, because with the Finc cover, as we said, we cannot adjust the claim directly. So we don't have much information about the claim. And in many cases, we only may have only the loss presented by balance sheets or accounting entries. And with that, we cannot really know the concept of the cover. And we need to make sure that they are not using the Finc cover to present claims related to failure or to failure of any local policy. So that means, for example, to try to cover claims that are under deductible or local policies, or maybe that the local policy doesn't cover specific events and they present it via Finc. So we need to make sure that this is understood well, that Finc is applied in the same way as it should be as a normal claim. This means that we have to apply the same limits and conditions as the master policy. This is one. Another one, also it's with the lack of information. I believe when the policies are purchased by the clients, they understand perfectly what FINK means, but sometimes because organizations are really big, the information doesn't get to the right person. And when the claims comes, the people who are handling the claim in the company, they don't understand what FINK means. You know what I mean? So basically the underwriting services have done the right job because they inform what this means and what are the effects, but maybe it doesn't get to the right people in the organization. So we have to make sure that everyone that intervenes or any agent that can, you know, get involved in the claims handling within the company knows exactly the effects of FINK. And the fourth one, it's when there is some kind of self-insurance retention. Because, of course, when there is a self-insurance retention, part of this money, or actually at the end, it's the client who is paying the claim. So it's very difficult for them to understand that we cannot pay directly to the subsidiary and we have to pay to the parent company. And their perception is like, it's my money, just pay the subsidiary. But they don't understand that it's not about wanting, it's about allowing, you know, we are not allowed to do it. And sometimes this can create some misconceptions. I would say that these are the four main misconceptions, I would say, about FLIN. I don't know, Darren, if you have any other...
Just to emphasise, really, that back to the heart of what FINK is, it's not the subject matter of the loss that's being insured. It's effectively the loss to the corporate business from that loss that's being insured. So it's subtly different. It should make a customer whole where there's a covered loss, subject to any retention, as you've put it. But it is important for them to understand that it's, whilst the basis of the cover is clearly an indemnity, let's say for bodily injury or property damage, the actual subject matter of the insurance is that financial loss that they have as a result of that, where they're unable to have the cover locally or adjust the loss locally.
Mm. Excellent. Thank you, Anoa. Thank you, Darren. So there we have it. The financial interest clause in a nutshell. Thank you all. Thank you to all of our experts, Anoa, Darren and Sally, for their valued input today. However, the conversation doesn't necessarily end here. If any of our listeners are interested in learning more about this concept or have any specific questions about Zurich customers, please just get in touch with your usual Zurich contacts, and we'd be more than happy to help. So thank you very much for listening. Yeah.